Well, it's good to see you today. Good to have some count meeting guests with us this morning. Yes. Brother, tell us who you are and where you're from. Stand up. Some people may not know who you are, brother.
Me?
Yes, you.
Melvin Edna Bonds. Pastored here in North Carolina 19 years. Went to Brazil 20 years. And we're back at home.
Amen, brother. Amen.
Good to be here today.
Amen.
Good to have you.
We came up 40 just right in the middle of that.
Amen. Glad to have y'all again. Always good to see y'all smiling faces. Good to have Miss Wells with us today also, visiting. Anybody else visiting today? I don't want to miss anybody. We're glad to see each one of you here. And we do need to pray for those that are not here for various reasons this morning. It's good to be here. Good to be alive.
Amen.
Looking forward for a good week. I hope you are. Hope you've been praying for this week. It's always an exciting week around fellowship. When we get to have the opportunity to have some visitors to come visit with us, and we can rejoice in the Lord together. And we're looking forward to that this week. Take your Bibles and turn to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. We'll have prayer and then trust God for Him to speak to us today and encourage us today through His Word. Father, we thank You again for this beautiful day that You provided for us. We thank You, Lord, for the safety. Dear God, we do pray and lift up those, Lord, that are hurting, those that have lost loved ones, those that have lost their homes and various things, Lord, through the storms. God, we certainly don't understand, but Lord, we just had to trust You. And God, we do pray for these dear folks today. You help them, Lord, supply their needs. Thank You for the safety You've given us. Oh, God, help us not to take it for granted. Lord, it could have been Clayton, Lord, that You hit. But, Lord, for some reason, You spared us. God, we thank You for that today. Oh, God, we know that our lives are in Your hands. And God, we want to give ourselves to You every day. Trust You'll use us somehow, Lord, to bring honor to You. Father, bless now the words that we're going to read. Lord, bless these dear folks that have come to Sunday school this morning, those that have traveled to be with us this week. God, we just ask You now to help us. Lord, again, I pray the Word of God would do for us individually, Lord, what we need in our lives today. Lord, we need You. We need Your help. And God, we trust You today to provide for us. Bless those, again, that are sick, unable to be with us, those in the hospital, those that have lost loved ones recently. I pray You comfort their hearts today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. First of the month, we started in the book of Ephesians. I've been going through it, chapter 1, where we are. Ephesians is a wonderful book of the Bible to read and study. We know Paul wrote it while he was in prison. Paul was probably around 30 years in the Lord when he wrote this book. He wrote it to the Ephesians and all true believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. And we see as he circled, no doubt, I think three journeys at least around the Mediterranean Sea, he and his disciples helped to start many churches and get them established. That was his calling. That's what God wanted him to do. And as he did that, he was encouraged many times by churches and what God was blessing, how God was blessing them. And this is one of the churches that he was really encouraged about because he saw how they had strong faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and how they had loved one another. And therefore, we find here, as we have revealed a little bit this morning, about how Paul explained to them the blessings of God, how they were blessed of God. And through the Trinity, we talked about how the Father had chosen them, the Son had redeemed them, and of course the Spirit had sealed them. And just to remind them, you know, we need to be reminded sometimes what God's done for us. We really do, how He saved us and how He's kept us saved. And He looks after us in our lives every day. He also talked to them about the knowing God, just the knowledge of God, knowing the true and the living God, the God of the Lord Jesus Christ, it's very important today to understand this. And as we look around the world, we're seeing so much happening today. Whenever I don't know, it seems like truth today is denied everywhere. Everybody wants to hear what's not true. And the lies and things that are not true are promoted today more so than the truth. When the truth is presented, people hate it. People hate it. They literally hate the truth today. And that's why Jesus said in the world, they hated me, they're going to hate you. If you present the truth, they're going to not like you. Folks, we can't stop because people hate us. We've got to realize that Jesus loves people, and we ought to love people too. And therefore, we just keep on keeping on with that. And we see here the third thing we talked about last week that Paul here wanted them to know was the power of God. The power of God. In verse number 19, we'll pick up this morning again, reviewing how Paul wanted them to understand the power of God. The power of God, and we're going to talk about that today. We talked about last week how power is ability to act or produce an effect. Power or ability to produce an effect in something, and how it's a possession of authority also over other people, over others. And we saw the power of God. Look at verse number 19. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe according to the working of his mighty power? We see the power of God, how he extends it first of all. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward? He extends his power to us. We see also not only how he extends it, but he presents it who believe. His power is available to those who believe. We have to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ to be saved, first of all. And then after that, we have his power in our lives to help us. So we see his power is extended, his power is presented, and then we find that he makes it available to those that believe. Notice what he said in the last part, according to the working of his mighty power. According to the working of his mighty power. Brother Wheeler experienced God's mighty power yesterday. Brother Alford did. We all do, every day of our life. We're not maybe conscious of it, but we see how God moves us and puts us in places and situations to protect us and to help us to be what we ought to be for God. So we see the power of God here. Verse 20, we find this, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead. In other words, he showed forth in Christ his power, God's power, when God raised him from the dead. I don't know anybody that's ever raised anybody from the dead. Do you? Only God can do that. God has that power. And we saw that as you raised Christ from the dead, God has power to do that. And in doing that, we find that God has power to help us to conquer all the trials and all the temptations that we have in our life. God has the power. The power is available to us if we'll simply call upon the Lord. You know, we need to call upon him, folks. And we need to realize when we call upon him, he's going to hear us. He's going to hear us. He's promised to. And therefore, we find his power is available to that. Notice verse number 20, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead. And notice, and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places. God has the power to raise men. God has the power to give men a new life. God has the power not only to give you a new life, but to help you live that new life in Christ Jesus. And God, we find here that also God has power to raise men from the dead, as it did the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Bible says, he set him on his own right hand in the heavenly places. That's where Jesus Christ is today. He's sitting on the right hand of the Father, making intercession for you and I. In other words, God the Father has exalted his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who come and died for us. He come and he brought Jesus to himself, back to heaven. And he's sitting on the right hand there, the place of honor and the place of authority where he deserves to be. What a wonderful God we have. And what a wonderful thing we see his power, the power that took Jesus Christ into heaven and to exalt him. You know, Jesus didn't need a shuttle or a rocket to get back to the Father, did he? You know, there must have been something, brother, very special about that glorified body he had to travel where it traveled, from here to to glory where God is. To go through all the principalities of air. All. And go to be with the Father. That glorified body. What a wonderful thing we see here. Today I want us to look far above. Verse 21 says, far above all principalities and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. I want us to look this morning at the exaltation and the ascension of Christ. God had the power to raise Jesus Christ from the grave, okay? He lived here a few days. And then we find in Acts chapter 1, there was a day set aside when the Lord Jesus Christ ascended back to the Father to be with him, and there the Father exalted him and put him on the right hand and set him down. Now, I want to look this morning at the ascension of Christ and then the exaltation of Christ. In Acts chapter 1, we find where this is. What is the ascension of Christ? This simply refers to an event in the life of the Lord Jesus Christ, our risen Savior, in which he departed visibly from them into heaven. That's the ascension of Christ. He left this earth. He was standing on this earth, and all of a sudden he was caught up in a cloud and went to heaven, went to where glory was. And men were amazed. And who wouldn't be amazed in the midst of someone that happened to? Well, they were amazed. They were moved about that, you see. And we find because of that, he ascended to heaven. Now, the exaltation, that refers to the act of God. Act of God when he rose the risen Savior and ascended Savior and give him a place of power on his right hand. That's the exaltation of Christ. Now, let's notice, first of all, why was it necessary for the Lord Jesus Christ, for God the Father, to take the Son back to be with him in heaven after he rose from the grave and was here on this earth for a few days? Why was it necessary for him to ascend to heaven? Why is it necessary? First of all, I believe it is necessary because of the nature of his resurrected body. The resurrected body. We find in the scriptures that such a body as he had, such a body now that he has as the resurrected Savior, cannot be subject to the laws in the world today. You remember on special occasions after his resurrection how the disciples were in a room and they just walked right in on him? Didn't open the door or nothing. He was just there. I mean, he had a body that was an amazing body. And that body was not fit for this world in which we live in today. It was different. So we find it was necessary because of the nature of his resurrected body. He no longer needed to live here on this earth in that kind of body. We also see it was because of his personality. Christ's personality required him to exit this world and go back to be with the Father. When we consider the sinlessness of his life, he never sinned. And we know this world is not a place for someone that's not going to sin. This place, this world is not. I thank God that one day, you and I, as born-again children of God, will be in a place where there'll be no sin. We have that glorified body, though, first. This body will not enter into that place where there'll be no sin, but the glorified body will. We also see it was necessary for him to ascend to heaven to complete the redemptive work of the Lord Jesus Christ. See, God promised him that he was going to set him on the right hand and exalt him and give him authority. And it hadn't happened yet. He had to ascend to heaven before that could take place. And this again is another reason or necessity of the ascension of the Lord Jesus Christ. Also, God raised Christ from the grave and he ascended him back to be with the Father in order that he, Christ himself, might be worshipped by the whole world. Be worshipped by the whole world. See, God the Father wants his Son to be honored. He wants him to be glorified. He wants him to be exalted. And therefore, he brought him back to heaven and set him on the right hand at the seat there of authority, that the world may worship him, that we might worship him. I'm glad that our Savior that we worship is with the Father, sitting on the right hand, And we have the opportunity to worship him there while he's there. Thank God today for the necessity of the ascension of the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, notice the nature of it. Turn to Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1. As Jesus Christ ascended back to the Father, notice in Acts chapter 1 the nature of his ascension. In other words, our risen Lord is going to depart visibly from his disciples and go back to heaven. Verse number 9 says, Acts 1, 9, and when he had spoken these things, that is verse number 8, how they were going to receive power and be witnesses to the uttermost parts of the world, when they had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly towards heaven, as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? Notice, this who? Same Jesus. Not a different one. But this same Jesus, which is what? Taken up from you into heaven, so shall come in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven. In other words, Jesus Christ is coming back the same way. He's coming back in a cloud, folks. He's going to take us to where he is. We see here that the nature of his ascension, it was a body, and it was visible of who it was. There's no doubt who it was caught up in the air. It was the Lord Jesus Christ himself in his glorified body. His glorified body. There's no doubt who he was here. It was a body of flesh and bones. A body of flesh and bones. Not flesh and blood, but flesh and bones. The body of the Lord Jesus Christ. Notice he passed up and through the heavens. We know the Bible teaches there's three heavens. But he went through all three heavens. Went toward the Lord Jesus Christ. He overcame all evil principalities and powers that inhabit those heavens also. He overcame them. There's nothing that could hold him back. He God gave him the power to go through all these heavens and go up to where he was. That's power, folks. That's power. Only God has that kind of power. Only God has that kind of power. Christ passed through the heavens into the very presence of God the Father. And there he was with him. Now notice the nature here. He took his place at the right hand. He took his place at the right hand. There's only one that considered the right hand of the Father. That's his Son, Jesus Christ. He's the only one that's worthy. A place, first of all, of authority. Of authority. Remember what we said a week or so ago? All power is given to who? Jesus Christ. All power in heaven and earth is given to him. So this is a place of authority. The right hand of God is where he is now, a place of authority. It's also a place of intercession. A place of intercession. That's what he's doing for us today. He's interceding on us, on our behalf, when we do wrong and when we come before the Lord. And when Satan accuses us of doing things that we know we shouldn't have done, he's our intercessor. He intercedes for us when we call upon him and ask him to. We also see it's a place of acceptance for you and I when we do wrong. It's a place of power, of power. Jesus has power. And this is a place of power at the right hand of the Father where he has set him out here. Now notice also, not only the nature, not only the necessity of ascension, but also we notice the purpose of him ascending and being exalted. Why did this happen? We find here that he has entered heaven as a forerunner. Jesus Christ went to heaven for you and I. Now, who is a forerunner? That's one who enters into a place where someone else is going to follow. Remember, John the Baptist was the forerunner of who? Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ going to heaven is the forerunner of all God's children. See, he's gone ahead of us. He's gone ahead of us as a forerunner, knowing that we're going to follow him. What a blessing that is, folks. One day we're going to be with him in heaven. One who enters a place where the rest are to follow. One who is set before to make observations and make reservations for us. That's what Jesus is doing today. He's preparing a place for you and I. That's why he had to ascend to heaven. That's why he's there today with the Father, one who set the Lord to deserve. Where Christ goes, his people may go also. Where Jesus Christ goes, we can go also. What a promise that is for you and I. He's gone to prepare a place for his people. And John chapter 14 tells us that. Let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, you're going to come and be with me, is what he says. What he said, literally. I'm thankful that the Lord Jesus Christ ascended back to heaven, yes, to be seated on the right hand of the Father, to receive power and an authority that he needed, and also to prepare a place for us. He went before us. He's the forerunner to prepare a place for us called heaven, a place called heaven. I don't know about you. I'm looking forward to heaven. I'm looking forward to being with my Savior there. And we find here this is why he ascended back to heaven. You know, God has a plan, folks, and his plan is working out. And this is part of his plan. After his death, Christ's death and resurrection, his plan was for him to go back to heaven. And he took him back to heaven. And he set him on the right hand. And therefore we find this is part of his plan. He's making preparation now, the Lord Jesus is, for his bride or for the church, who is us. He's preparing that place. Folks, listen. He's been preparing that place over 2,000 years, hasn't he? Can you imagine what it's going to be like? Now, he could have prepared it in our time, maybe probably in a day. But he chose over 2,000 years to prepare that place. Now, I believe he's chosen over 2,000 years because of his grace. Now he's long-suffering to all mankind, not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance and be saved. Yet, thank God we have that place prepared for us. He's now appearing before God on our behalf, folks, the Lord Jesus Christ is. He is our high priest, if you please, on our behalf. That's who he is. He's the kingly priest for you and for me, the Lord Jesus Christ is. He's our kingly priest. I'm thankful today for this. So we see here the importance of his ascension and his exaltation. He's been exalted today. And we find this in this scripture today. Also, we see he has taken his place at the Father's right hand. Turn over to Ephesians chapter 4, like in verse number 10. Ephesians 4, one page over in your Bible. Look at verse number, let's start with verse 7. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore, he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it, but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same that also ascended up far above all heavens, that he might be filled with that he might fill all things. Now, what does that mean? That Christ might fill all things. He's talking about here. All things, I believe, is first of all with his presence. You know, when we are where Jesus is, we sense his presence. No matter where he is, if he's in the lower parts of the earth, if he's on earth today, wherever he is, he fills all things with his presence. Thank God for his presence. He also fills all things with his work, what he's doing, what the Father has him to do wherever he is, at the time he is there. He fills him with his work today. And also he's filled with himself physically, no matter where he is. So we see he has taken his place at the Father's right hand. He's been exalted. He's been exalted. The Lord Jesus Christ has. Now notice the final results. The results of him ascending to heaven, being seated on the right hand of the Father. He's there for you and I. We find, thank God for that. What does that do to us? What is that for us as we look at this today? First of all, we find It assures us of a free access unto God. Turn to Hebrews chapter number 4. We have free access to God because of the exaltation of the Lord Jesus Christ. We can approach God freely with confidence into the very presence of God. Hebrews chapter 4, look at verse 14. Seeing then that you have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, who is it? Jesus, the Son of God. Amen? Let us hold fast our profession. For we have not a high priest that cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Now look at verse number 16. Let us therefore come how? Boldly were unto the throne of grace. Why? That we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Because of the Lord Jesus Christ being seated on the right hand of the Father today, you and I have the opportunity, we have the privilege, if you please, to freely and with confidence approach the Lord Jesus Christ. We can pray. We can pray and have confidence. He assures us of that because of His ascension and because of His exaltation today. We have access to God through the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank God today for a Savior like the Lord Jesus Christ. Our High Priest. We know that He presents petitions. Petitions. It's over in Philippians, I believe it is. Philippians chapter number 4. Philippians chapter 4. Look at verse number 5. Verse number 6. Well, verse 5. Philippians 4, verse 5. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Notice, be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplications with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. He says, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Thank God that we can bring our requests before the Lord, our great high priest. We present our petitions to Him. He secures our pardon when we call upon Him because He's our high priest. We have security. We can rest in this. We also can communicate. God communicates blessings to us because we can approach the throne of grace boldly through Jesus Christ our Lord. He answers our prayers. He gives us faith because of who were the Lord Jesus Christ is today, sitting on the right hand of the Father, making intercession for you and I. I'm glad today for the ascension and also the exaltation of the Lord Jesus Christ, that He has given us this assurance today of a free and confident access to God the Father. To God the Father. Whenever I pray, I'm sure that God hears my prayer. I'm assured of that. You are assured that God hears your prayer. No matter when it is, no matter where it is. We also see it's assured hope of immortality. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. We are assured of a hope of immortality. 2 Corinthians, and look at chapter 5, verse 1. Paul says this, therefore, seeing you have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty and walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world has blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of this power may be of God and not of us. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. So we see here, we find here that we have the assurance. When we enter heaven, we have a different body. We have a different body. We have a body like unto the Lord Jesus Christ, a resurrected body, a glorified body. This body will never see heaven, but we know that we are assured this mortal is going to be destroyed. We're going to have a resurrected body. It also gives us, the believer, confidence in God's provision. Back in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 22, the Bible tells us this, and hath put all things under his feet, and give him to be the head over all things to the church. We find here that the ascension and the exaltation of the Lord Jesus Christ assures the believer of confidence in God's providing. God will provide. He's going to provide for us in this life and also eternity, the life to come. Christ has been made head over all things. That's what God says in his word. Christ has been made head over everything. He's head over the church. He's the head of the church. We find everything is subject to Christ. And that is for the church's sake. Everything will be subject to the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, when the Bible says every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess, that's an awesome statement. But folks, it's going to happen. I mean, the mockers can mock, the atheists can deny. I mean, the world can say, ha, ha, ha. But folks, it's going to happen. Amen. Every knee shall bow, and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God. He's the head. He's in authority. He has all power. Why can't the world see that? We know that the prince of the powers of this earth has really deceived mankind today into the fact that they do not recognize Jesus Christ as who he is. He's the head. He's in charge. Christ bestows the Holy Spirit upon the church. In John chapter 7, we see that. Christ receives and also bestows upon the church spiritual gifts. Spiritual gifts. He's the head of the church. We are the body of Christ as born-again children of God. I'm glad I serve a risen Savior. I'm glad I serve a Savior that has ascended into heaven to be at the right hand of the Father, to be exalted, that we might worship him. We might worship him together today. Thank God. God is a spirit, and we know that we that worship God must worship him in spirit and in truth. He's not here physically, but his power is here, his spirit here. And therefore, we have the opportunity and the privilege to worship the Lord Jesus Christ. So I'm glad today to note, as verse 23 says, verse 22 and 23 as we close, and hath put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. He fills all in all, the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank God for a Savior. Thank God for a Father that sent his Son to die for us. He was willing to come. He came to die for us. And we're to exalt him, folks. May Jesus Christ be exalted today in our lives. Not only today, but until he comes. Until he comes. He's worthy. He's worthy. Let's pray. Father, we're thankful today for the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you, Father, for who you are. And Father, for what you've done and allowed your Son to do, and he was willing to do it, of course. But Lord, we're thankful, Lord, that we do serve a Savior and that we worship him today who is in heaven, sitting on the right hand of the Father. We're thankful for this place of authority and power that you've given him and you placed him because he's worthy. God, may he be exalted today in this service, in this place, and throughout this week. Lord, we can't exalt you. We can't praise you enough. Lord, for what you've done and all what you've been doing every day in our lives. And God, to you be the glory. Father, bless now the service we're about to go into. I pray, dear God, for our pastor. I pray, God, for a special anointing upon him today. God, as he presents the word that you've laid upon his heart, Lord, to share today. Lord, I pray today if there's one in our midst that's lost, I pray the Spirit of God would draw that individual to Christ before it's eternally too late. Thank you again for this day. Thank you now for what you're going to do. We're going to praise you for what you do. In Jesus' name, amen.